Hello, my name is Everett Dibbler, and welcome to the Same Page Podcast. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Susan Barlow. And the Same Page Podcast is brought to you by the RAID Center, which is a technical assistance center that is focused on supporting youth and their families through the transition process. And the Same Page Podcast really focuses on getting youth and their family together to talk about what they wish they knew then that they now know as their child works to go from school to adulthood and is really kind of thinking about what is life going to be as they truly become adults. So we invite you to enjoy this episode of the Same Page Podcast.
Welcome to the episode 3 of the Same Page Podcast. I'd like to introduce our guests today, Kim Hernandez and Antonio Hernandez. Can you both tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Hi, as Sue said, my name is Kim Hernandez. I am Antonio's mom, and I live in Buffalo, New York. Work at Parent Network. Is that good or no?
We're so glad that you're here. Yeah, that's great. That's great. So I guess you've known Sue for a little bit, huh?
I have.
Yeah. is that a good or bad thing? I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out in a little
that's
bit.
That's great.
I don't
know.
Look the way she says that, right? Yeah. That's great. You talk between her teeth.
And Antonio, you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Antonio. I'm a graduate from NCC, also known as Niagara Falls Culinary Institute. And I'm going to NU.
Which is also known as?
Oh, Niagara University.
So New York, right?
Yeah.
And all right, I'm going to start with some questions for Kim. Okay. When you found out that Antonio had a disability, how did you go about talking to him about it?
So I always knew something was going on because he did not talk for years. And when he did talk, only the family understood. He was in early intervention and he didn't crawl, walk, but all my kids were preemies and that might be a factor too. But anyways, as he was in school, I would invite him to the meetings and kind of talk about it. I mean, as young as I can remember. Yeah, I always try to be honest with what's going on.
So when did he actually get a diagnosis of a disability?
So he's been in a 15-1 from kindergarten. As a matter of fact, he was in early intervention and he was in the Monarch for speech half a day and he was in Buffalo schools half a day, but he was in a 15-1. He did repeat kindergarten. Based on his age, I didn't think it was a bad thing because he has an August birthday. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think it would look too bad to other classmates. But yeah, he's been in all his school career. He's been in special ed until college. But he was in a 15 and until he graduated from high school. So always in a special class. So he was diagnosed.
When was he diagnosed?
So originally we had him as attention deficit because he would go play with the toys when all the other kids were trying to work. And so, but I always could tell it was just still something else going on. So about the third grade, he went to a neuropsych and they diagnosed him with dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia. And when he was 8, he was diagnosed with severe auditory processing disorder.
So, wow, that was a lot. Now, I'm going to ask you one more question, Kim, and then I'm going to hand it over to our friend Everett here. In terms of receiving services from school, in your opinion, how did Antonio do with receiving those special services?
He did well. I always thought he could do more. There are things that they wanted him to use, like headphones for auditory processing. He never used that. The school was hard to get. And even though he was in a 15-1, I feel from all my kids who are in special ed or had a 504 that they don't want to be seen. They don't want to seem different. And so anything that would make them stand out, like headphones and nobody else is wearing them, they did not want to do that. So I didn't push for it, but the accommodations did help. And just the 15 helped, but a 15 also doesn't push you as hard. And if I could do things different, I'm not sure what I would do, truthfully.
Sure.
Okay. Fair
question. One, I think that's a cool part about this podcast is we want parents to be maybe be in your position back then, kind of hear you saying those things. That what would I have done differently? What have I learned now that I wish I, you know, what do I know now that I wish I knew then? That kind of stuff. And I want to clarify, Kim, for me, and I think maybe our audience is like, when you say 15-1, do you mean a ratio of 15 students to one teacher? Is that what you mean? And they're intentionally structured that way. Is that what you mean
when you say that? Yes, that's what I mean. And the teacher is a special ed teacher.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Antonio, your mom talked about how you received some services through an IEP or whatever in school, right? And she said that you were maybe anti-headphone, which makes sense to me. How did you feel about receiving services in school? Did you notice a difference? Did you like it when you knew that you were getting them? How did you feel about that?
I liked how it was helping a little bit, but I didn't like how like people picked on you for being different and stuff. I didn't like that.
Yeah, so what kind really of things what kind of things did people say, Antonio?
Like they would use special to be bully you or something.
Yeah.
And it's like when we're walking in the hall, you could hear anybody say, oh, that's the special kids. Just hearing the word special after hearing that.
Because everybody knows you're in the 15-1 class. Right? Yeah. They all know that's where you go.
Yeah.
Did you find though that getting the, and this is not one of the questions that we talked about, so I'm just curious, mm-hmm. like, You're in college now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like those accommodations have helped you get to where you are now, going to school and doing that?
Yes.
And how would you say that? How? I guess this is a better question.
Like I use the internet for a lot of things, and probably like the read and write stuff. I probably wouldn't use that. No.
You use read and write gold, is that what you mean? You use read and write gold at school, is that what it's called? Where you can use a online extension to get support in classes. Yeah. I see mom shaking her head yes, like yeah. It's a godsend, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, it's a godsend, yes. But I guess my other question too, so you realize that things were helpful and it kind of helped you learn about what to do, you know, using extensions and using the internet and using what's available, using apps. But when you were younger, what did you think your career and life would be like when you were little, like in your head? What did you see yourself as doing as a job, or what it would be like when you were an adult?
Honestly, when I heard my dad talking about he was a cop, I probably would have thought I would be maybe a cop or something.
Yeah, so like wanting to be what your dad, what, like following in his footsteps.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I always wanted to be an owner. I always had that passion when I was in like kindergarten.
And own what?
And own what?
Hotels.
Hotels. Own what? Oh, own a hotel. Oh, yeah. like hospitality. Uh-huh. Yeah, like Monopoly. Is that why Antonio, you went into culinary? Is because, like you, it ties to like hotels and hospitality and restaurant. Yeah.
I had a passion for cooking. Ever since my mom been cooking, I've been enjoying her food.
So. Yeah. So, what are you cooking, Antonio? Like,
what are you known for? Yeah. Well, let's get down to business.
I know that Sue is known for sauce. That's what I know. So, what
homemade.
Are you known for?
Homemade
sauce.
Yes. Uh-huh. She's Italian, so she is.
Yeah.
gets down in the kitchen.
I enjoy making risotto and scallops. Pastas I'm good at. I don't know.
Seafood, macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
People love them. And mom, I'm assuming you love the cooking too, right? You love it too.
I love him cooking, yes.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And I guess, Antonio, is it true that you work two jobs?
Yeah.
where are you working now?
I work at the casino at the WD Steakhouse, and I work at Sodexo, the Seneca One building.
Okay. And what do you do? What do you do there?
I cook at both places. I mainly on the grill here at Seneca One.
So you have these two jobs that are forever thing. Like, what do you see yourself doing for your career now that you're older and going to school? Now that you're navigating this whole college thing and working two jobs, which is like pretty typical college kid, right? Like typical college guy, right? Like, so what do you see for yourself now in a career?
Probably saving on money and hopefully starting something out of that business.
A business. Okay. Like starting a business. Wow. So you want to be like an entrepreneur. That's really good. I guess it's a fancy word for it, right?
Yeah.
do you, and I have one more question too before we get to Kim's, mm-hmm. one of her last questions is, Antonio, like, do you feel that school helped you do, like, high school now? Do you feel like school prepared you to think about your job and your career and where you are now? Or do you feel that it was mostly you and your mom or your family navigating that process?
Both.
Both.
Yeah.
Mom, what do you think? Do you think the school was helpful to you in that process? Like helping you kind of help Antonio get to where he is now, working two jobs?
Well, as he said, he always wanted to own a hotel or be a police. And so what I've learned, everyone has different personalities and he's very driven, like his father. My husband works 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. He's very similar to his father. And that's his personality. He's very driven. He has a goal. He wants to be rich, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
If he lives at home, he can get there. So school was very helpful because it's a smaller school. And I think you should really realize who you are and your personality when you pick a high school. Because mm-hmm. Buffalo has a lot of choices. I think for his choice of culinary, it was the best school that Buffalo had. And they were very helpful.
Antonio, what are you going to Niagara University for? What's your major going to be?
Hospitality, and I want to do a major in business too.
Are you going to do a major in business? Good. I was going to suggest it.
Yeah,
talking about wanting to own a business.
Yeah, the transition teacher in me was like, oh, business. Yeah, the college professor in me was like, please tell me you're going for a business degree. Please tell me that's happening. Because you need to be hanging out with other entrepreneurs mm-hmm. and people that are doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, Kim, listening to Antonio talk about school and work, and did you imagine that he would be where he is now when he was in third grade?
I never imagined. When you read that sheet of paper that says, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. She actually said, I won't say her name, but his neuropsychologist actually said, if this was my child, I'd pull him out of school. She really did, because that's what's wrong with, like, when you get a loan for a car or something, there's a sheet of paper that says who you are, but that's not who you are at all. His personality is what makes who he is. He's a hard worker, and it takes a community, it takes a village. And so, you know, we all support each other, but it's his determination that really pushes him to get what he wants, and he will. He'll be successful.
Wow, that really resonates with me. I mean, I think that that my mom wasn't told exactly that, but it was basically he'll never make it here. He'll never be okay. He'll never make friends. He won't be able to have a social life or be anything. Mm-hmm. And my mom literally said, "Have you spent 5 minutes with my child? Do you know who he is?" Mm-hmm. And I feel like they don't ever quantify the person's intangibles, like what's inside their heart and their determination. And I feel like, yeah. But I can also get mom why that's daunting. Like you're in this meeting and they say, take him out of school. Like, was your reaction? Maybe that's an idea, or was it heck no, I'm not doing that. And I mean, like what was your gut reaction to hearing somebody say those words?
Great question.
Well, first of all, I was shocked that she would say that, and I guess. As a doctor, I guess you can say what your feelings are or what you can assume. But I also had a child who a doctor said was going to be born with Down syndrome and that I should abort. I did not. And my child was born with cerebral palsy. So that makes them totally wrong. They're two different diagnoses. So with him, school, pulling him out of school was not an option. We will go to the fullest any way that we can. I think that sheet of paper did make me doubt how far he could go. He chose to go this far. He showed me that he can do it. I had to let go. So that sheet of paper, it says his memory is not that great. But you put all those things together, it looks like there's no success. He's going to be very successful. He's successful now. He's a beautiful person. And all of that matters more than that sheet of paper.
So Kim, if you were in a room, which you have been, presenting to a group of parents who had children who were a little younger, what advice could you give them? Think of one really important thing that resonates with you that would help them in their journey with their child.
So one thing I think I did well is I never told him he could not do it. And he always said he could. So it doesn't matter what's in your head. Do not say it, because that's a negative. Always be positive, and they'll help you with the journey to show you how far you can go. So I would say sometimes you got to let go a little. Just a little. You don't have to do it all at once. Well, let them go a little. They're not going to cross the street without you until they know how to. So, but, you know, let the rope go a little and it's okay.
Like when you drive, I understand, Antonio.
Yeah.
I don't know that mom thought you were going to be driving.
No.
Look out.
Because you look at tests, and tests don't tell you anything about a person. He got the test read to him. He passed the test. He did everything the first time. So you have to let go and have faith and let them do what they're going to do. He worked hard. He studied hard.
I didn't get that test read.
At the motor vehicle place? You didn't? Okay.
Well, I guess, Antonio, your mom and Sue, I can tell, have this. They're very proud of where you've gone and what you've achieved and where you're headed. But in your opinion, what's the biggest thing that your mom or your parents did for you to help you go where you are? Your mom talked about letting go, letting you try things, but in your opinion, what's the biggest thing that your family has done for you?
Helping me when I needed it, like school-wise, work, anything. Always there to help whenever I need them to help.
Yeah. So like helping you with school and making sure maybe you get to work, or like so they don't, yeah, they're there with you every step of the way.
Yeah, waking up on time. All
All that adult stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, becoming an adult, it's not easy.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I have no more questions. How about you, Everett?
Well, I guess, and I do have one for Antonio. So if you were talking to other young people that were maybe they're dealing with, them and their family are dealing with this whole idea of they're not sure how far they can go or what's like what their future looks like. What advice would you have for young people with disabilities when they're talking, when they're thinking about their job or their career? What would be the advice you'd have for them?
Don't let that sheet of paper reflect your life. I would tell them, don't let anybody doubt you. You only doubt yourself and stuff. But I'll tell them to just keep going. Don't stop.
I heard you say nice. Like, yeah, it's like, it's to me, a lot of it's about perseverance. And it's perseverance on both sides, the parent and the child, right? If you're working together and you're driving towards a goal together, you almost can't be stopped. You just have to believe that you can get to where you want to go. But then also realizing that it might go further than you thought, right? Or you might have to make a detour, a different way to get to the same place. Right. So I really appreciate y'all's perspective today.
Yeah.
It's been really great getting to know you and hearing your story.
Nice to meet you too.
You too. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And stay tuned for Same Page Podcasts coming up.
Yeah, we are doing it all over the place, man. It's gonna be episode 4 coming up soon. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.